Now as ever, Chapter 15. I don't think you have to worry too much about it, Stiles, Deaton says with a small smile. Stiles may be grasping at straws, desperate to talk to anyone who will listen, but he's still careful about what he says. He just wants to know if this thing in his head, the thing between him and Derek, is as real as it felt. Derek must care a great deal about you. When you followed them out into the woods that day, he was terrified of losing you like he'd lost everyone else. Fey magic is nothing to take lightly. It's dangerous and wild, and Derek knew that. What happened to me? Stiles asks, not even sure he wants to know the answer anymore, but he has to. Deaton smiles at him, but it's more distant than the ones he's used to seeing on the man's face. Maybe you should give Derek a chance to tell you. Maybe you should stop being so fucking cryptic, Stiles thinks, but he keeps quiet as Deaton finishes his examination, checking Stiles over for traces of magic and things outside the comprehension of human hospital staff. For days, Stiles continues to be surrounded by his friends, a constant stifling presence that seems to push into the open spaces in and around him, all but the hollow that Stiles can feel around his heart. It's as if they're all afraid to leave him alone, scared he may be ripped away again in the blink of an eye. He was wrong for thinking it would be easier here in his own time. Stiles isn't any less confused about his past, or not past, with Derek. He needs to see him. Even if it doesn't mean anything to Derek here and now, Stiles just wants to be able to share the same space with him again, the same time and air. He needs Derek closer, even just for a little while, just to see if the emptiness around his heart will fill up again. He gets several text messages from Derek, checking up on him, but nothing revealing, nothing that gives Stiles any clue as to what he's thinking beyond a friendly level of concern. Stiles doesn't tell everyone about his time in the past, not in detail anyway. He doesn't try to keep any of it from his family, though, from his dad or Scott or Melissa. There's no point, and Stiles thinks it'll only rip him up further if he tries. He told them everything about his visit to 2003, even the parts he could tell were painful for his dad to hear. He's alone with Melissa in a private room of the hospital as she changes the bandage on his stitched-up arm and checks for infection. "Are you going to try to tell me I'm too young to know what love is?" Stiles asks, because her opinion is important to him, and he needs to know if everyone thinks he's a little bit crazy. "That I'm just a kid and I don't even really know him?" She looks at him, silent, contemplative, then smiles brightly the way she always does, and goes back to the task of rewrapping his wrist. "No, Stiles, I think you know him better than anyone, and I don't think you're too young at all. In fact, I have my own personal motto. Love is for fiction and teenagers." Stiles watches her face, searching for signs of sadness behind her words, but she's still focused intently on her task, not meeting his gaze, a small smile curving her lips. "What do you mean?" Stiles asks, because he has to ask. Feels like it's some important bit of motherly knowledge he'd missed out on from his own mom, and he remembers Derek's mother saying something similar. "Love is such a pure and perfect emotion. After a while, people grow up. They have a bit more experience, more life under their belt, and they start looking for the bad in people, noticing all the little negatives that counter the positives. It makes it harder to find that all-consuming rush of emotions that carve away at a person's defenses and make them fit together more perfectly with someone else." She tapes his fresh bandage in place and smiles up at him. "I think if you're lucky, you find it while you're young, and even luckier if it finds you back." Stiles can't seem to return her smile. He doesn't even know what's real anymore. Lydia decides to throw a sort of reunion-like dinner party at her house Thursday night. No one is allowed to bring any punch, but Stiles is grateful to learn it's just his closest friends there anyway. It's not long after Scott and Stiles arrive that Derek shows up, holding a casserole dish and looking a little sheepish in the doorway. Lydia takes it from his hands, commenting on how delicious it smells, and Stiles almost smiles at the memory of Derek's not-so-delicious cooking experiments. Almost. Throughout the night, the two of them don't talk much beyond the typical niceties of acquaintances, but Stiles steals glances every chance he gets, watches as Derek's own gaze flicks away from Stiles every time. It hurts being this close to him and not being able to touch him. Hurts just looking at Derek, but Stiles can't stop. He'd assumed his memory of the last 4 months would be muddled and hazy at best, completely non-existent at worst. Stiles wasn't prepared for the clarity of it, didn't allow himself to believe he'd fully remember any of it. He's surprised to realize that he does. His heart aches with it all. But within this realization, edging its way into the forefront of his mind, Stiles feels a heavy measure of guilt. He loves Derek. He's completely in love with Derek. But it feels like a stolen emotion, like something Stiles manipulated to his advantage, took without permission. He hasn't had any time alone with Derek since coming back. He doesn't know if Derek remembers any of it, if he blames Stiles for what happened. Stiles needs to talk to him. He needs to know. Derek is out back on the porch sometime after dinner, and Stiles thinks it may be the only chance he gets to be alone with him, so he asks his friends to give them a minute. He slips out quietly, closing the door behind him. Derek is leaning back against the railing of the porch, looking every bit as broody as he had when Stiles left this place, this year. But there's an underlying hint of something Stiles has only recently allowed himself to recognize. "Did you find your brain while you were away in Oz?" Derek asks. "I did," replies Stiles, because he's learned so much about Derek, about his past and the 4 months he was gone, that it really was like finding a new mind, or at least a new wealth of knowledge. He doesn't stop at his usual safe distance as he approaches Derek, and Stiles isn't even sure this is okay anymore, but he can't help himself. It's like he's being pulled forward by an unknown force, gravitating toward Derek like he's the sun at the center of Stiles' universe. He does manage to stop himself eventually, just a few feet away. The distance is like a physical pain to Stiles. It feels like a hot, heavy stone is resting in his stomach, searing his insides with need. Stiles wants to reach out to him, to touch him, to wrap himself in the familiarity of Derek's arms. But he just stands there instead, taking in the shadows on Derek's face, the darkness in his eyes that represents a lifetime of happiness lost in an instant. "I'm sorry," Stiles whispers, unable to stop himself. "I'm so fucking sorry, Derek. I tried. I tried to..." His words break off, caught in his throat behind a lump of emotions that Stiles can't seem to move around. His eyes fill with tears until Derek is just an unrecognizable Gaussian blur of color before him. Stiles is afraid to blink, scared it will make him go away, one or the other of them disappearing into time again. "I know," Derek says. It isn't the response Stiles had been expecting, and as the tears finally spill over, clearing his vision, he sees that Derek looks just as lost as Stiles feels. I wanted to... "I know, Stiles." Derek reaches a hand out, wrapping his fingers around Stiles' wrist, and Stiles is wound so tight that the contact nearly breaks him. Derek tugs him close, wraps an arm around Stiles' neck and one around his waist, surrounding him in his presence, and Stiles buries his face against Derek's neck and just stays. "Do you remember me?" Stiles asks after a while, not bothering to pull away from Derek, not ever wanting to. "Do you remember us?" He isn't sure he wants to know the answer. Deaton told Stiles that part of the reason the magic had sent him back to the past was just so that Stiles could learn things about Derek that no one really knew. But he didn't know if that meant Derek's past had now been rewritten with Stiles in it. He feels a huff of laughter against his cheek. "I remember," says Derek. It's exactly what Stiles had hoped to hear, what he needs. Stiles relaxes into Derek. He wants to kiss him, to cry out with the relief he feels inside. But he's drained, broken and bleeding and completely wrung out. He just needs Derek to hold him up, just for a little while. Just for a minute while Stiles tries to regain the ground beneath him. He wants to tell Derek how much he missed him, but it sounds ridiculous even in his own head. He's been with Derek the whole time. Isaac cracks the back door open, apparently having taken Stiles' "give us a minute" too literally. He only looks a bit confused as he crinkles his brow at the sight of Derek and Stiles pressed together. "Sorry," he says, his cheeks flushing pink in the porch light. "Lydia wanted to know if you guys want coffee." "Yeah," Derek says. "Coffee's good." Isaac nods and slips back inside with another quick apology. They still haven't discussed everything Stiles wants to, not by a long shot. But Derek assures him he'll come over later tonight, after he drops Isaac off at home, and the two of them will talk. Derek kisses Stiles' temple, rubs a hand up and down his back, and Stiles feels himself breaking apart again as they separate and head inside. Derek stops him at the door, his hand wrapped around Stiles' wrist. When Stiles turns to look at him, Derek holds up a length of string, facial expression entirely unreadable. Stiles sucks in a breath through parted lips, feels his skin prickle at the sight of it. "I took this off of you before the EMTs put you in the ambulance." Stiles doesn't know if he should hold his hand up for Derek to tie it around again, or just take it and stuff it in his pocket, but he wants it. He wants his reminder, his little piece of past Derek and them. He swallows hard and nods, but before he fully decides on what to do with it, Derek is looping it around Stiles' wrist again, tying the ends together and hooking his finger underneath it to stroke Stiles' skin before releasing him. It's two nights from the full moon, and as the group discusses it, Scott makes a tacky joke about locking Isaac up to keep him under control. Stiles tenses, looking up from the string around his wrist he'd been staring thoughtfully at. Isaac doesn't look bothered by the comment. He's smiling maliciously, in the way he's always been so good at, and says something about the need to handcuff Scott to a radiator. Derek is watching Stiles, and Stiles' gaze shoots back down to his wrist. "No one's getting chained or locked anywhere," Derek says, and it sounds like his words are directed towards Stiles, but Stiles still doesn't look back up. "I think I can handle myself now anyway," Isaac says on the end of a chuckle. "I've been doing fine." "It's true, he hasn't tried to kill me in a few months," says Allison. Stiles does look up now, and Derek is staring right at him. "You found something?" Stiles asks. "Something to anchor yourself to?" "It's still a work in progress," Isaac replies. "But yeah, there's been a lot of death over the last couple years. It's easy to focus on that, the fear, and forget about the rest." "You train your focus on death?" Stiles' voice sounds accusing even to his own ears. "The opposite, actually," Derek says, leaning forward and resting his forearms on his knees. Isaac realized death and fear weren't the things he wanted to think about most. "It's life," Isaac says after a short pause, and Stiles wonders how many times his group of friends have discussed this among themselves in the months he's been gone. "The memory of my own mortality and what it was like before. I don't have to be afraid now. I can focus more on living and all of the life going on around me." Isaac looks over at Derek, and Derek just nods, his eyes trained on his own hands. "Is your ability to communicate any better now, Tin Man?" Stiles asks. He's lying in his bed, curled onto his side when he hears his window slide open, and instinctively knows it's Derek. The mattress dips as Derek sits on the edge, and Stiles doesn't bother to roll over. Some conversations are easier to have without the openness and vulnerability that eye contact brings. He still feels guilty, like he took advantage of a young version of Derek, knowing this one wouldn't have wanted him. Stiles is no better than Kate, save for the murderous rampage. Derek shifts around on the bed, fits himself to the curve of Styles' back, and flattens his hand against Styles' stomach to draw him even closer. Styles feels dirty and wrong, but he wants it so bad, wants Derek to be his. Not just then, but now, fairly, all of him. "I can talk to you," Derek answers, warm breath on Styles' neck. "Do you remember your past without me in it?" He needs to know how different things are now, here in this life. Needs to know if Derek is a completely different person than the one he'd left behind all those months ago. He feels Derek go tense behind him, knows he isn't breathing. And then he responds. "I remember all of it, with and without." Styles counts the thrums of his heart. "Which one is real?" he asks once he gets to 25. There's another long pause of silence in which Styles thinks neither of them are breathing now. "Does it matter?" Derek asks. "What happened, happened. There's no changing that." "But I need to know," Styles whispers, barely able to hear himself over his own thundering heart. "I need to know if I..." "You aren't responsible for what happened, Styles." Derek's voice is firm, and Styles thinks if he was a werewolf himself, it would have been the words of an alpha leaving no room for question. But he's not one of Derek's betas, and he does question. "You saw," Derek continues. "You know it would have happened whether you were there or not." Styles blinks away the tears and tries again not to think of Derek's family. "Do you know how you got there in the first place?" Derek asks against the skin of Styles' neck. "Do you know what happened that day in the woods when you disappeared?" Styles shakes his head because he doesn't know, but he can't find his voice to say as much. "It was me." Derek wraps his arms a little more tightly around Styles, holding him together as if he knows Styles is about to break apart. "I did it. I did it because I couldn't stand the thought of losing you, and you almost died, Styles. When I saw that iron rod in your chest..." Derek's hand moves up to cover Styles' heart. "When I heard your heartbeat slowing, I knew you were almost gone." "What did you do?" Styles asks. It isn't an accusation, but real curiosity. "It was just will," Derek whispers. "I just thought, if I could push you out of the way of death, if I could shove you back 2-3 minutes, I'd be able to stop it before it happened." "Has anything like that ever happened before?" Styles asks, tracing the bones on the back of Derek's hand with his finger. "Did you have any reason to think it would work?" Derek presses his face into the juncture of Styles' neck. "No," he murmurs. "I didn't know if it was possible, even with all that magic around us, but I wanted it to be." "Deaton said it was a force of will so strong, so desperate, that, combined with the Fey magic, it caused a loop in time." Styles thinks of fabric woven throughout time, of strings stretched tight across the universe, of a gravitational force so strong at each end that it's impossible to gather enough energy to loop one side around it. "I couldn't lose you," Derek whispers. And Styles realizes in that moment that the cosmic string, the thread that no one could trace back, it's Derek. Styles sucks in a sharp breath, but can't separate any words from his jumble of thoughts to speak. "That wouldn't have happened before you went back into my past if I wasn't already in love with you, Styles. If you weren't already a part of me. That's how I got back here, too, isn't it? You did it. You pulled me back." Derek is silent behind him, but Styles doesn't need words to confirm what he already knows. "How did you know?" Styles asks. "If it wasn't completely intentional the first time, how did you know it would work the second time?" "Because of you," Derek says, and Styles feels him tug at the string around his wrist. "Because of this. And because, as all these new memories were forming, it occurred to me that the string theory couldn't be all that far off. I could only hope that I was the one holding the other end, and that you'd have enough time to recognize that, even on some subconscious level. You being there, It didn't change the way I saw you. It didn't convince me to love you or trick me into anything. It just gave you all the information you needed to know me. To... Derek doesn't say it, but Stiles can feel it there, teetering on the edge of Derek's thoughts, held back by a thread of doubt. To love you back, Stiles finishes for him. Derek presses his lips to the back of Stiles' neck. You don't have to, he says. I know, replies Stiles. But I do. I already did.